gentlemen, may I bid you all welcome here and say one word before I start speaking. I am starting speaking. And that is the translation. Button number 2 is French and number 3 is English. You may wonder why I have asked you to come here. I have in mind a completely frank and open exchange of views, and this is ensured to you, and it is essential for our success. There is no verbatim quotation of anybody, and there is no press, so you are quite free to let yourselves go, if I may say so.
Well, Your Highness, gentlemen, now, I think I should say frankly that we in the United States feel a sense of insecurity for perhaps the first time in our history. We're deeply disturbed that there seems to be no unity among our European friends with us in the question of what should be done in Asia.
When I was in America, I think for the... Now, in 1951, I was asked to do one of those Meet the Press radio television interviews. And the first question I remember being put to me by a charming lady who was just returned from Korea and was a well-known newspaper woman was, "Mr. Gateskill, we can't understand why you're still trading with the enemy." And, of course, that actually epitomized so well the United States point of view. And I said, "Which enemy? Are you at war with anybody?" Of course, officially, they weren't. But everybody, I think, in the United States felt themselves at war with China. It would be fair to say that very few people in Britain ever felt themselves at war with China.
Your Highness, gentlemen, Mr. Gateskill mentioned my name during his discussion, and I'd like to try to get into that from the American point of view. I really don't think that it is a quaint American emotional quirk to feel that when an American soldier gets killed by another soldier, that it's a sort of an international traffic accident and doesn't count much. We feel very strongly about that, and I hope to goodness we continue to feel strongly about it.
Mr. Van Zeeland.
We must know and be sure that all of us want to reinforce our side against the communist threat for defensive purposes. But in Europe, you will find many people who will put the question to our American friends, are you really in favor of the defensive? In other words, do we rearm mainly to win the war, or mainly to avoid the war?
Sir Oliver.
Mr. Chairman, if I may,
I want to say this. When an American says that the problem of communism comes first, I think the great majority of people in Britain would agree with him. But when an American says that, he's saying it as a rule, as a man of action. And what he wants to know is what to do about it now. When you say it to someone in Britain, he completely agrees, but he thinks you're talking about something like the fact that the summer comes after the spring or the autumn after the summer. It is one of the great facts of life with which we live.
It is very difficult to visualize the Western Alliance working effectively if the right of friends to criticize each other is not accepted as something natural and necessary and not contrary to good manners or offensive to national pride.